Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 417, A Star is Born.
2018.
It's not in the title, so I don't have to say it. Take that.
Yeah.
They wanted it said, they needed to put it in the
title.
That's true.
I think they can figure out which one we're talking about this week.
Not the Judy Garland version?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Hopefully they can just look at the poster and be like, that's not Kris Kristofferson there.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of.
I got to tell you.
I will say, I mean, we'll get into it, but so I went back and watched these movies in reverse order because I had never seen any of the Stars Borns.
Right.
So I watched the new one. Then I watched Kris Kristofferson and Barbra Streisand. Then I watched James Mason and Judy Garland. And so I watched.
Is there one before that?
Or
is
yes,
there is.
There's
okay.
A non-musical one that's in color on Amazon with Prime for free.
Is it called A Star Is Born?
Yeah, they're all A Star Is Born. And so anyway, I watched it. And I'm like, this movie is very much a remake of the '76 version. Plot beats.
Yeah.
I mean, because some people were like,
bathtub scene.
All of them. I mean, plot beat for beat for beat. Like having watched the older one after though, it was interesting because. Like I really enjoyed this movie. I'll just say that. And so I watched it, and I'm like, oh wow, this is a remake in every sense of the word, and that's not a bad thing. But this is not a reimagining or
Is A Star Is Born starring Eddie Vedder.
This is a remake though,
and
for take it for what it's worth. But it's interesting to compare them. And
does it have the same ending as well?
Well, that's spoilers. This is very much a remake.
Without giving it away, does it in the same way?
Yes.
I'll say this is very much a remake.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's a little bit different
it's
the same ending.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves before we dig in. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And that unfamiliar voice you heard is Jason Wiese.
How's it going, everybody? Good to be here.
Long time listener, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
First time caller.
Yeah. First time, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuinely, this is the, as I was just telling the guys earlier, this is the first podcast I ever listened to. And
we're sorry, we set the bar very low,
which is good. Because if
honestly,
you're welcome to all the other podcasts.
Yeah. honestly, I like the structure and atmosphere of this one over ones that are like super structured, because like I just love the conversational tone.
Oh no, Kevin tries to keep it structured all the time.
Yeah,
I don't want to be here till next Tuesday, so I do try to put some in, but we're very casual.
I'm actually glad you fail at that as often as you do, because it makes it so much more entertaining.
She doesn't want to be here till next Tuesday is because every time we see him, we're like, see you next Tuesday.
That's right. It's all the time. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm trying to get them to not be able to say that anymore.
Yeah.
but truly, it's a genuine honor to be a part of this and to talk about a movie that I think is just fantastic.
Yeah.
So
it was a nice surprise.
Coming off of Venom.
Yeah.
I saw him in the other order.
Yeah. I did the opposite as well. So I'm like, oh, this is really good. Oh, now I have to see Venom. I was so not looking forward to it because of the order I watched it, where it's like, I think this movie probably, like, now a lot of people are saying, oh, this is one of the best of the year. If you saw Venom first, you'd probably watch this and be like, this may be the best film ever made.
Yeah,
like,
if you saw Venom first, you'd walk out of Hellfest saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. And also, don't forget, we have a Patreon where you can go and for the low, low price of $5 a month, get all sorts of bonus content. And
me uncensored.
Yes, yeah. And Joe uncensored. And since we did two movies this week, it sounds like our Patreon this week will be the box office report.
Yep.
And I will even be joining in.
Woo-hoo.
Because it's federal holiday and I'm off work, so I can do it.
We get Tom uncensored.
Yeah. Ooh, I'll say all sorts of... I'll go into my racist diatribe about the Belgians.
Yes.
So sick of the
Belgians. Hey,
those dirty Belgies.
We can talk about the Canadians.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't listen.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all of that. I guess let's dig into the movie. Yeah.
So it's interesting. I'm almost positive I'd seen the 70s version at some point. Against my will, I assume.
but you love Streisand.
Not a Streisand fan. I do like Chris Christopherson, though.
Sure.
Sure.
Isn't he the guy in Blade? Is he Whistler?
He's Whistler, yeah.
Like, the only before yeah. I saw A Star Is Born, the only reason I knew Chris Christopherson was he's Whistler.
I feel like he was... Wasn't he in Westerns? Didn't he do a bunch of Westerns?
Yeah.
That's...
And he's a country guy. And
yeah.
Wasn't he in part of the outlaw country, like with like Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings?
I would not be surprised if that wasn't true. I mean, I would be surprised if that wasn't true.
I would not be unsurprised if that weren't untrue.
I kind of felt like an honorary Joe, though, because I'm like, oh, I know him as Whistler from Blade. Like, that's
I always get him and Kenny Rogers mixed up for some reason.
Well, one has eyebrows?
I guess. It's the hairstyle. It's the fact that they were like 70s heartthrobs and had music careers and were in, I guess, was Kenny Rogers in film? I don't really know.
Oh, I'm sure. Wasn't he in The Coal Miner's Daughter?
Wasn't I don't think so, but
he knows how to hold them.
He had a TV film franchise based around The Gambler.
Right.
Yeah. He was also in the movie Six Pack, where he played a race car driver who adopted all these kids. It was kind of like The Seven Little Foys, but about race cars.
And then he got his face all messed up.
Yeah.
I apologize.
And chicken roaster.
Chris Christopherson has eyelids. They both have eyebrows.
Right, right.
I meant eyelids,
so I
apologize.
Chris Christopherson still looks like, I mean, he could, I would not, I feel like he could have played the Sam Elliott part in this one.
Oh, that would have been other than maybe it being a bit jarring, but it's like clearly,
yeah.
Like you got Sam Elliott and Chris Christopherson. That
Sam
is
Elliott
a very,
with the, you know what? Sam Elliott without a mustache weirds me out.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Does he do that weird TV show without a mustache?
So he did. So he was the alter ego
of Ron Swanson. He was like Bizarro Ron Swanson.
And that was the first time I ever saw him without one. I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, that is weird. But
I don't like it at all.
Sam Elliott is great. And he's great in this movie.
Everybody in this cast, with the exception of probably Bradley Cooper, only because they won't nominate Bradley Cooper because he wrote and directed it.
Probably.
That's the...
What?
Why won't they nominate him because of that?
Don't they... Isn't that kind of their thing?
Kevin Costner did it.
You might have a point, though.
Mel Gibson?
Ben Affleck didn't for Argo.
Argo, yeah, that's right.
He didn't get director, but they got Best Picture. That wasn't an acting thing, though. But he could have been nominated.
But Kevin Costner got it for Dances with Wolves.
I guess that's true.
And
I guess
Mel Gibson got it for
Braveheart.
This is already getting backlash, and this is going to be a big Oscar nomination.
Oh, it's going to be nominated. Everybody involved is going to get nominated.
It's going to be nominated all over town.
You're going to get song. You're going to get writing. You're going to get directing. You're going to get actors.
I don't know how... It doesn't get song.
No, yeah. I agree. That opening song, Shallows is your song.
Shallows the big one. There's several others, but like Shallow, again, in the context of the movie, and we'll get into it, but like I really like how that song is introduced between the characters.
And I will say the Academy loves it when the song is not just over the end credits and it is featured in a movie. I mean, that's how 3-6 Mafia or 3-6-5, whatever the hell they were called.
3-6 Mafia.
3-6 Mafia. That's how,
Eminem won.
Yeah, it was so non-traditional, but it was in the context of the film. Mm. And I also think that movie was all about
Coolio.
All about like rap songs. There is an art to it. And it showed that. So the
you
Academy.
Mean Eminem?
Are you talking about 8 Mile?
No, I'm talking about the song from Hustle and Flow.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you said
here for a pimp.
Yeah, that's right.
That at Eminem?
No, Eminem won for 8 Mile.
Eminem won for 8 Mile.
I just thought that we said
but that's also featured prominently in the film, yeah.
Because I'm like, that's Lose Yourself, right? I don't know. Somehow I got 3-6 Mafia and Eminem, and I was getting all my cool.
I think Coolio won for Gangster's Paradise.
Oh,
really?
Dangerous Minds.
Oh,
interesting.
I don't think he did, because I thought 3-6 Mafia was the first rap act to win.
Maybe Weird Al won a Grammy. I'm not kidding.
Well, anyway.
He won a Grammy. It wasn't an Academy Award.
Okay.
Coolio won a Grammy for that song.
Well, this movie is going to get all the nominations, and I will say it's facing a lot of backlash from film Twitter, because the movie was...
Thing? What is film Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's people that talk film on Twitter. It's just the film community is known as film Twitter, and you have a lot of critics, and you have a lot of fans and people that are just film nerds and whatever. But the thing is, so this debuted in Toronto earlier this year, and just critical acclaim, and everyone loved it. It's been talked up and amped up so much, and now people are finally seeing it, and you know how expectations can be. And I think we can all agree it's excellent, but a lot of people had this set on, people are talking it up so much, and now they're like, I mean, it was okay, but so it's starting to face that when a movie early on is talked up like this, it's really bad for it later in the Oscar season.
I ran into a situation like that at my job at Gateway Blend. One of their properties is Cinema Blend, the website. Mm-hmm. So I run into the creative director, and I'm like, "Hey, man, you were at Starsborn last night." He's like, "Yeah, yeah." I'm like, "What'd you think?" He's like, "It was okay." The guys who went to TIFF and saw it, they just made it sound so great.
See? Yeah,
and I'm like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "What'd you think?" I'm like, "I kind of loved it."
Yeah.
he's like, "Okay, well, I'm glad you did." I'm like, "Yeah, I didn't really have people, talk it up for me." So I guess that shows how that reaction can
exactly. And I mean,
it makes me worried for Halloween.
Yeah,
this is
this is the kind of movie that Hollywood doesn't make anymore.
This, uh-huh.
This was just a damn good film.
That's exactly what I thought.
It's a spectacle film.
Yep.
There's lots of good looking stuff on the screen from the actors and actresses to
the cinematography is
insane,
dude.
And it's a grown up movie.
Absolutely.
You don't get a lot of anymore the movies for
get like one or two of those a year now.
Well, and anymore the movies for grown ups are like a $4 million art house movie.
Right.
Like it's not
didn't we have
a
one
big
last
movie.
Year that was like it's a grown up movie, but it's a blockbuster. Quote unquote. Like
I mean, you might get one or two a year, but you don't get many of them same way. And this movie, the budget on this thing was like $35 million.
Brilliant,
sounds about
and
right.
That looks amazing.
And I got that actually, just to tie it in quickly to the Joker movie, if this movie looks like this, at $30 million, and the Joker is getting $40 million, like that's kind of exciting.
Yeah,
like to get. A movie like
but the difference is
it's DC.
And also though, I think these actors probably worked for less money because it was a passion project.
Has she been in a movie before? I know she was on
American Horror Story.
She was in Machete, right? One of the Machete movies.
Oh, she may have been.
that's what I remember.
No,
right. So it's interesting to see her prowess on the big screen. Like
she was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
God.
Okay. Well,
who is she in
that? That's a movie
that
happened. But I mean, like, to see.
But it's interesting how her trajectory is following the plot of this movie.
Her own trajectory? Like, she's playing Lady Gaga.
Well, A Star is Born. I mean,
she doesn't have, like, a bra that goes up to here.
Well, yeah,
like,
but I mean, I think she's more doing the Katy Perry thing, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I mean, her career in real life, I mean, she started off as a musician, and she first off started off playing piano and being Stephanie Germanotta and a young musician. She was discovered, she found her act, and did the costumes and all the crazy stuff. She's blown up. Now she's in a movie where she's being taken seriously as an actor, and I'm just like, A Star is Born. This is literally her career, and her music career was very successful, obviously, so it's not like it's going up, and now the movie thing is the main thing, but still it reminded me of exactly what this character was going through.
It's always interesting to see musical acts try to make that jump into acting, and I think that it doesn't work often.
No,
I think you can probably count on one hand how many acts have made the jump successfully and been successful.
I think a lot
Ashley
of times,
Simpson.
That's one of them.
I think a lot of times what you'll find, and I still wouldn't be surprised if this is the case with Lady Gaga, to where she's great in this,
Oh, put her in something else.
But put her in something else, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had, I mean, Cher, I think, is, and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah, they're good.
Are we talking about musical acts?
Yeah, that have made that jump to the big screen and been successful.
Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez, I feel like, has... Well, I guess she still puts out
Mandy Moore.
I feel like she always kind of had a foot in both worlds.
Mandy Moore
Mandy Moore's a good actor.
She fumbled for a while.
Yeah.
And then she found her footing.
I thought she was good in What Saved. Is that the one that she was early
that was very funny,
she was
yeah.
good in that. I mean, that
and
was
now,
early
now,
on.
Obviously, This Is
this
Us.
This Is Us now. Yeah. But, I mean, so it happens.
It does happen.
But, I mean, this caliber, though. I mean, you're talking about her first. I mean, okay, so she was in the Sin City thing that we forgot
that
about.
Count.
She was in Machete.
She played Bertha, and she also was in... Muppets Most Wanted.
No kidding.
Oh, as
herself, Lady Gaga,
probably,
though, right?
I think so, yeah. yeah.
But it's like, but this...
Oh, and she was also an extra in season one of The Sopranos.
Oh,
no
nice.
Shit.
but it's like, this is clearly, like, her time to shine.
This is her movie.
This is her in what is going to be an Oscar-nominated role in a very much Oscar-nominated movie.
The problem is she's going to go up against Meryl Streep. That's what's going to happen.
Well, in what?
Meryl
well,
Streep.
That's her honorary spot. It's
right.
four,
no,
four
she's got that one. She has
that
one where she's the wife of, like, the, who plays
you the Post?
No. Who plays, like, the head priest in Game of Thrones that got blown up in the.
Are you talking about Glenn Close and the wife?
Is that what it is, Glenn
That's
Close?
Glenn Close.
Oh, then she's going to, okay, then she's going to go up against Glenn Close.
okay,
so
she's
it's
fine.
Like,
yeah.
I think she might have a hard, I think she'd have a harder time beating Glenn Close than Meryl Streep because I think people would look at Meryl Streep and go,
like, of course.
You've got like seven of these, like
That's
you're
the
fine.
Thing. Yeah.
Where
yeah,
Glenn Close,
point.
I don't think has ever won one, has
Get
she?
Out
not
of
not
here.
That I
not
can
to
think
my knowledge,
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
So she got nominated for Death Becomes Her. I don't know.
So this movie.
Yeah,
so
no,
I,
that's Meryl Streep.
yeah. So
okay, it is. Yeah.
So I will say, so like I mentioned earlier, if you've seen the 1976 Barbara Streisand, Kris Kristofferson, A Star Is Born, this movie follows those plot points very similarly. I mean, it is.
They changed the music style a little bit.
Absolutely. It's of the time, and which I think is great where, you know, I went back and watched that, and to me, I'm like.
He's a country singer, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he does kind of country, but it's rock. It's still rock. But then Barbra Streisand's very much ballads and Barbra Streisand music. And so I went back and watched it. I'm like, I don't like this music at all. In the 70s, I'm sure people loved it, but I didn't.
I mean, Evergreen is from that movie. That's a huge song.
It is?
Love's Office's Easy Chair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean.
Is that the one that won the Oscar that year?
I think it did. Yeah.
Right on,
co-written
right
by Paul Williams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's, you know, that was a huge song.
Sure. But so it's very of its time, though. So what I mean is I think this is a perfectly updated movie to where, you know, it's like. It's very similar in the plot structure, but the music's updated and the actors are people that we know now, you know, A-list actors are, you know, Brad got Cooper and then Gaga's obviously well known and
Andrew
Alec Baldwin
Dice
pops up.
Clay.
I had no idea this was him until I looked it up later.
I didn't
later.
Know it was Dice either.
Like, what?
He got,
I was instantly like, Andrew Dice Clay?
And when he starts talking and I was like,
yeah.
That's Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah.
He looks different than I picture Dice. And
well,
so, like,
yeah, because he's not doing Dice.
Because he's not doing Dice, and he's got gray hair, and it's cut short.
And he's not doing the kind of is. Then he's got the guy
like,
who...
Like, hey, sweetheart, how are you doing?
Yeah, and I was like, he's not doing the hickory dickory dock.
Yeah.
But then they got the guy who looked like Paul Bannon. Like, one of his little driver buddies is like, did they cast Paul Bannon in this movie? Because that was a bold move. Yeah, the wackadoo from... Trump's administration.
Bannon.
Steve Bannon. Yeah.
Right.
Like there's a guy who's like looks just like him.
The white haired guy. Yeah, he was
on Orange Is the New Black.
That's right. That's
is he?
Yeah. Okay. He's Mr. Healy.
Yeah,
I honestly
he's Healy.
Wouldn't be surprised
asshole.
If Dice gets nominated.
I would
like,
love
I
to
don't
see
think
that.
I think he's
not in it long enough.
Such a small role.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But he was good.
And I don't think the Academy is just, they don't like him.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Sam Elliott definitely had the more powerful moments.
Yeah. Sam Elliott's
as little
get,
as he was there, like when he's talking to Bradley about, you know, the ranch and the history with their father, like that was very absorbing.
That conversation in the driveway.
I would say the conversation in the driveway is the one
that
got me.
That too, yeah.
I mean, he's going to be supporting.
Absolutely.
He's being nominated, and I wouldn't be surprised
you know,
if he wins it.
Back to Andrew Dice Clay, though. I love the fact that he's in the super serious movie.
Yep.
And in the credits, Andrew Dice Clay.
Is that what it says in the credits?
He keeps Dice. And Dice, I noticed, also wasn't in quotation marks. I thought it had always been Andrew, but Dice was in quotation marks.
Well,
but,
I didn't think
that was like when, but here's your wrestling reference. When the Ultimate Warrior like left the WWF,
yeah,
he changed his name is Jim Hellwig. he legally changed his name to Warrior. So like his wife's name is Dana Warrior. I'm not making that up. That's her funny. Real. Like that's yeah. what he did. But like he lived the gimmick.
Yeah, but I love the fact that like he took this serious role and he's like, no, I'm still Andrew Dice Clay. He didn't go with Andrew Clay. Or...
Well, what about Lady Gaga? I thought that was an interesting move because she's in this serious role and she's not being Gaga.
You need that name though.
But she's not Stephanie Germanotta, and I definitely think it's for marketing. It's people know Lady Gaga. But I just thought here's this serious, what's going to be an Oscar nominated role, and she doesn't go, you know, okay, I'm an actor now. I'm Stephanie Germanotta. She's Gaga in this movie, which I just...
I mean, she knows her brand. Right? Mm-hmm. She's not dumb.
Yeah. And WB knows her brand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Andrew Dice Clay, his goal originally was to be an actor. He's on an episode of MASH.
Yeah, he fell into that gimmick.
And Entourage.
Wasn't he in comedies too? Wasn't he in some comedy
movies? He was in a movie with... with like... Mary Gross and Victoria Jackson
from SNL.
Yeah, and
talk about a wackadoo.
And this would have been like the early 90s where they're trying to join the FBI, and he plays somebody like that. One of
them. Pre-Dice?
This was like right as before it like got filmed, and then Dice started to really happen. The character.
Okay,
and he plays kind of a version of Dice, but like a more likable version.
Yeah,
it's a cute little movie.
I was shocked at how good he was.
Yeah.
When he's not Dice.
I mean, he was fine. He was great in this little character of the father. Like, you know,
it was a very believable relationship.
He was believable, but he also didn't have to do a whole lot.
No, it was just fine for what it was.
After the great musical number in The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, I'm kind of bummed.
You're welcome for those compliments.
That we didn't get to see him sing.
Are you?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, so this
he kept
one,
on saying he was like a crooner too.
Yeah,
he was like,
I
yes,
loved that.
Everyone thought I was better than
this. Is very funny when he tells the same story all like every single scene.
Tell him what Paul Anka said.
Yeah. That was very funny.
So this one, I mean, if they ever do an Eddie Vedder biopic,
get Bradley Cooper.
He followed Eddie Vedder around.
That was his inspiration.
It's an amalgam of Eddie Vedder, Bruce Springsteen, and then Sam Elliott. Like he wanted a voice. He wanted to do a different voice. Yeah. And when he was doing it on his own, it kept coming out country. Like it had an accent.
Sure.
And he's like, I don't want an accent. I don't want to just go that hard country. Mm. And then they were like, you know, he's like, I want something that sounds like Sam Elliott. And the dialogue coach helped him with that. And he got to the point and he's like, well, that Sam Elliott should play my brother. And then he goes to Sam Elliott and plays a tape. He's like, here's what I'm doing. And Sam Elliott's like, yeah, that's really good. I'll do your movie.
Yeah, that's really good.
Good choice.
He sounded like a mix of Eddie Vedder, The Dude, and Kris Kristofferson. Like, that's what I heard.
See, and I heard, I'm like, well, he's clearly channeling Kris Kristofferson because that's also how he spoke in that movie. But the Sam Elliott connection's great, that they're brothers and they both had musical careers and he stole his voice, we find out later on, because he had the talent, you know. But like,
well, I think even they say that Sam Elliott had the talent, but he didn't have, like, nobody wanted to hear him.
Yeah,
like, because he looked like a father-son group.
I love that line. Yeah. You should have marketed it differently. Would have been all right.
Yeah, I mean, he had the voice, but he just didn't have the songs or something.
Right,
because
Bradley Cooper was writing the songs.
Yeah, so he stole his voice, quote-unquote. Right. And so it works very well, and their relationship is great. They have a great dynamic. It's tough to watch at times, but, Sam Elliott.
He's a better Thunderbolt Ross than William Hurt. That was perfect casting in a bad movie.
And, you know, on a side note of the Eddie Vedder thing, what's funny is I read somewhere that when Bradley was talking to Eddie about making this movie, Eddie actually said, you don't want to do that. Why do you? that's a terrible idea to remake that movie.
That's
don't do
hilarious.
That.
Yeah, he's got like the Eddie Vedder hair. He's got the beard. He's not really wearing like the Eddie Vedder getup because he kind of has like that country look to him, like he's wearing like the cowboy hat.
Like, well, he's not wearing plaid, but he is wearing like, you know, flannel.
Yeah. So anyway, this one starts and we're introduced again to Jackson Mason.
Jackson Maine.
Jackson Maine,
which is one of the greatest rock names I've never heard.
Absolutely.
You know?
Starts off with a concert just like 76.
He's killing it.
That was a great opening song.
I mean, I miss
rock and roll like this.
Yeah.
Like
the song is Black Eyes and it has this instrumental part where he's just wailing on the guitar and the drums are going.
Is that him singing?
And it's all, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He actually wrote the lyrics and co-wrote the music with Willie Nelson's like son, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I think Gaga was involved in that one, too. That's, I mean, they were all involved in a lot of the songwriting.
Yeah, and I know they brought in a bunch of Nashville songwriters, too. Yeah.
But this is amazing.
But this opening is awesome. Like, it's a badass song. It's a cool opening with him wailing on the guitar. Right. And you see that this guy, I mean, he's playing. Isn't this a stadium or a big venue?
It's an outdoor amphitheater.
It's a big venue, so you see this guy's successful. And what I really like is how this part is one of the things they change a lot from the 76 version is... So in 76, Kris Kristofferson is definitely on the way down as far as popularity
he's
goes.
He's like peaking.
Jackson Maine is very popular. Yeah. He's his own detriment with drugs and alcohol. So
the first thing you see is him taking a bunch of pills and then downing a glass of gin. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're very clear.
He is rock starring the joint up.
Yeah.
But they don't shy away. From the beginning, you see his drug and alcohol problem. Mm-hmm. But so I like that they didn't have to make it him be, you know, getting too old or growing out of it. Like, his popularity is at his peak, but his demons
are
what's keeping him.
Well, they do kind of, like, he was... I feel like he is on the downside because he's, like, he's doing corporate gigs.
Yeah, like, I felt he was still a concert draw, but not necessarily a charting artist.
Yeah,
I could see that, but I just mean they still show him selling out big concerts. Right. Like, you know, fly me to this gig, you know, via my private jet, which those aren't cheap, and he's doing huge concerts. Like, it's just, with Kris Kristofferson is, like, he is...
He's doing like bars.
Yeah, I like that it's not his age keeping him down. It's his inner demons.
If you want to be more impressed by that opening scene, so they crashed the Stagecoach Festival.
Okay,
so that's how they got the crowd.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's clearly a huge.
If you see the credits of the movie, like I think like Live Nation receives a credit.
But
they crashed the Stagecoach Festival, and they gave, because I mean those festivals are tight, man.
Right.
Like, there's no time for f***ing around.
No. Unless you're the closing act.
They gave him 10 minutes, one take.
Oh, my God.
They went up, they played that song, they got
it's
off stage.
So good. Jeez. I mean, the filming, the cam work, like Jason mentioned, you know, the shots of him, you know, with the drink and then taking it, and then one tracking shot getting on stage. And just, I mean, it is awesome.
And all the music is played and sang live, thanks to Gaga's suggestion
to
Cooper.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And if you want to hear something that's even really kind of a cooler homage that the film doesn't really have a way to address, another scene they filmed at the Glastonbury Festival, and they needed somebody to give up a little bit of their set time so they could do it. The person that gave up that set time?
Eddie Vedder.
Kris Kristofferson.
No, better. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Oh, so you're going to steal my spotlight again?
Again, so he gets out there and he's doing a show, and Greg Grunberg, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Shows up as
the guy from Heroes.
Yeah, show, also from Rogue One, or from
J.J. Abrams' friend.
Yeah. Shows up as his
driver.
You
know him as the guy from Heroes.
He's doing his best Happy Hogan impression.
Yeah.
So he drives him, and they're, you know, Bradley Cooper's like, I don't want to go home yet. Yeah. He's like, what about, there's a bar. Yeah. And let's just pull in there.
Same thing that happens in 76.
Does he pull into a drag bar?
Well, that's the thing. This movie, again, like I said, is very updated for the time.
Right.
So instead of being a drag bar, I think it was a black nightclub. And, and Barbara Streisand's an act called The Oreos, and it's two black singers and Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
But
it's also another example of the person having so much talent that they're succeeding
in a place they shouldn't be.
She's in a black nightclub. Gaga's able to perform in a drag bar, which she says they don't let women sing. And so it's very.
And Lady Gaga did.
I thought that was like part of her deal.
Her story is she was performing in drag.
Wow. Yeah. So it's very, again, I love how they keep that story, but they refresh it and it all works. It feels so current.
It's very smart.
It's certainly better than Neil Diamond did it in The Jazz Singer.
Well, clearly, yes.
Where he performed in the black club in blackface.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Like,
he can't really do that.
No. Well,
I think they were 2018.
I think they were trying to homage the original film because
they really shouldn't try to anyway.
No, it was I'm not saying it was. I think they were trying to find a cute way to acknowledge it, but it didn't work.
So Gaga works at a Not it's like a hotel. A fancy restaurant. Yeah. She's a server, waiter, runner, whatever.
Right.
And so, like, we find out that, you know, whenever she gets off work, she's rushing to go perform.
I do like the guy was like, you got to take out the trash. He's like, come on. Like, there are some good comedic beats here's a little inside baseball. As a recovering addict, this movie was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because he keeps going up.
With like, somebody who was married to one.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
just to be clear, Joe and I were not married.
Just gotcha, put that gotcha. Out there.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to put that on the record.
But like,
especially as poorly as I talk about my ex, I would hate for people to think that I was talking about you.
Like sitting across the table, I was like,
well, it's
no,
one of
it's
your
true.
Steps. Is yeah. to,
it's I, my I, steps. Yeah. I'm the one that has to do the
I don't
steps.
Need to take any steps. I didn't do anything wrong.
But yeah, like he's constantly, he gets his feet underneath him. He quits drinking and then... there's a trigger, and he starts drinking.
It's very hard to watch.
It's very hard to watch.
I feel, let's spoil the ending for this movie now so we can get, talk about it. So he kills himself at the end of the movie. Mm. I think he was always going to kill himself.
Oh, I don't think he was.
And she delayed the inevitable. I think
she coming into his life?
Well, yeah, right. They set it up, he tried as a kid. Like, we know.
Yeah, but
I mean, that was...
But, I mean, I think, like... That was where he was headed in the opening scene of this movie. Like, it's like he was just kind of circling the drain, and then he meets her, and that was kind of his reason to not do that.
Yeah. It sounded to me like the reason he did it was because he didn't want to kill her career.
Well, he did it because that scumbag asshole manager.
Yeah, I hated
I have two thoughts on that, because it's like at the end of the day, he did it because he did it.
Well, I know.
I mean, people have said crappy things to me, and I didn't go kill
myself.
He's
a recovering addict. That's a lot different. He's a suicidal.
He's fresh out of rehab.
Right.
Mm. He is still probably struggling with living life without the booze. Like, he even says he's like the scumbag. He's a scumbag, but also at the same time, he's telling
the
truth.
He's not wrong.
But you don't say that to a guy that just got rehab.
I think he could have.
He sees his meal. Allie is his meal ticket. Allie is Lady Gaga's character. Mm. Allie is his meal ticket. And he knows that Allie will never, never leave him, no matter how bad he gets. She wins. Okay, so we're just going to. I don't even care. She wins the Grammy for Best Artist. He is blitzed.
Same as 76.
Right.
But doesn't he hit her in that one?
On stage?
Mm-hmm. I thought there was a scene where he hits her.
No.
I've
Which,
never
I, you know what? I appreciate that they never
never
gets
about violence.
That.
Yeah.
He was
psychologically abusive at times.
One time.
Yeah.
But
he was critiquing her lyrics when she was in the bathtub.
That's the one time that I feel like.
Yeah.
But like if you're talking about the scene on the balcony, I didn't feel like he was being abusive. I felt like he was like, look, I've been where you are.
I don't think that was abusive. I think he's manipulative.
Mm. I could see that.
And there are, he does say some mean things to her at times, but I like the fact that he's never physically abusive, and he's not cheating on her. It doesn't
never
become,
cheats on her.
It doesn't become about that.
Yeah, and so that's another thing that I really like to change from the 76 version.
Does he cheat on her?
Kris Kristofferson cheats on Barbra Streisand in that version. So in this version, we don't have an excuse to hate him because he did something like that.
Yeah, he's
we
just,
have an excuse to feel
he's
sorry for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really like that change because, you know, it makes the whole story so much better when you don't hate this guy, you sympathize with him.
Right.
Yeah. And I will never forgive like that character of the manager because I don't care what you say. That was wrong.
The scene is haunting.
Yeah.
Like, so I was explaining the scene to somebody else. I was like, the scene where he dies.
A long pause.
Well, it's not even that. Like, so he pulls the garage door down, and then they cut to her doing the song that they're supposed to do together.
Yeah.
Then they cut back, and it's a far away shot on the door.
Through the little
window. Through
the
window.
Door.
And if you look hard enough,
you
can
see him
swinging
back and forth.
Absolutely.
But I like the fact
that I have goosebumps just talking about
it. You got to look at
it
for a little bit.
You do.
It's not just.
Yeah. And I thought that was probably the most effective scene.
But what about him contemplating for like 2 minutes before he closes the garage door where he's walking slowly?
Well, I feel like, he's messed up already when he gets out of the truck. Like, he goes into the glove compartment of the truck, and I guess he finds pills.
Yeah, he takes pills.
Well, yeah, they all fall out of there.
Right, and so he just kind of like, we know what he's going to do.
Sure.
As soon as he pulls the truck out, I was like, well, and I said from the jump, I'm like, he has to die.
But I still feel like the whole point was he was contemplating. Like, he was just, I mean, he took his time. He didn't just get out of the truck, close the door, and
I felt like he was waiting for the pills to kick in.
I don't know. I took it as he was really thinking long and hard about what he was doing, and at the end of the day, he made the decision. But I thought that was a really chilling moment.
And Chris Christopherson walks into the ocean, right?
No, he drives his car off, like, he crashes his car.
Is that what it is?
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so...
He's driving very fast with a beer in the car, and okay. and it's like, you know, you see him driving, and he doesn't die on camera, so you're like, oh, maybe he was just getting his anger out or whatever, and then the next scene comes to a car just totally wrecked, and police, and they're saying there's a fatality, so he did run it off the road.
Sure.
I guess you can kind of question, was it his decision, or did he swerve on accident, but, you know, that's the question they leave.
So, yeah, so they start this, he sees her... And immediately, like, that's what I like about this movie is there's no buildup. Like, they meet each other and we are off to the races.
This movie is very, very Altman-esque.
Oh, I could see that.
Especially in its dialogue structure. Mm-hmm. I would love to know how much of this dialogue was actually written.
I don't think a lot of it.
It felt very natural.
Very natural, very organic. And there's lots of overlapping side conversations that you get in an Altman film. And it just really, and which is part of what made Altman films feel so slice of life.
I wonder if the side dialogue is written and they let, because like you've got the Andrew Dice Clay and his buddies that are talking or whatever. And I wonder if they're like, this is your dialogue. And then Bradley Cooper was just like, you and I will just go over. Like they have what they're going to say. We have the beats we have to hit, but let's just do it together.
Yeah.
That way, you know, because like it's Sorkin the same way.
That scene in the where she's in the bath where she refers to him as her boyfriend by accident.
Ooh.
That felt
real.
That felt like a real slip. Like it didn't feel.
I think there's a couple times Gaga slips in this movie, like when she says, "Eat your dinner." Oh, I don't even know what time it is. I mean, eat your food. I don't think she was supposed to say dinner. I think she caught it and they left it in because it was natural. She corrected. Yeah. I can
it
tell.
It seemed like she was so distraught by what's going on that
it was
like
a good correction.
Forgot.
But I'm pretty sure that was
that boyfriend line was a gut punch.
When I first heard that, I was like, "Oh, did she really just call her husband?"
That was a good scene though, and I do feel like they were riffing. You know,
when he just rolled with it and they stayed in character.
Yeah, right.
That's what makes their chemistry is excellent, and it's so believable because I do feel like they got into these characters and they spoke the truth from these characters.
Right.
I love them on screen and their relationship.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. It's rare, I think especially today where you have a male and female lead that are put together and immediately have chemistry and you can feel it and you can,
it's impeccable.
Also say like, and I'm not a Lady Gaga fan, but I don't know that there's another musical act
that could have done this.
The
only one that maybe, I mean, I don't know what Katy Perry can do.
I don't think she can.
I don't think she's on this level.
Been the same. Yeah. No.
You know, like this in the 80s, this is Cher.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is, if they remade this in the 80s or early 90s.
In the
90s,
it's
Madonna.
It's
Madonna.
Oh, like the ballads that.
It's absolutely Madonna.
Madonna at the start of her career, I could have seen that. Yeah. I think Whitney Houston would be.
I think Whitney Houston.
That would have been, been good.
Yeah, I guess Madonna made the jump. That's true.
Not really.
Spirited away.
She's
what is it called?
It's the spirit of it's
swept away.
Away.
Yeah.
I mean,
away.
She's been in a lot of movies,
that's
but
true.
None of
Dick
them.
Tracy,
but none
Dick
of them
Tracy.
Have really been hit.
Dick Tracy.
I'm not a
you
Madonna
love what?
Fan.
Dick Tracy.
Wait, say that slower.
Tracy.
I love.
Nah, this doesn't work.
Richard Tracy.
Just say those four words slowly.
I love Richard Tracy.
I can edit it. It's fine.
Well done.
Yeah. So.
So he sees her, and it's a very natural falling in love type. And you know, I mean,
He loves her immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he sees her, and they make this connection. Like her song, her performance is great, and
she lays down on the bar,
and they lock eyes. Like that's a cool.
That is such a beautiful shot too. Like, you feel it.
When
like you feel what
she's like,
feeling in that.
Turns her head and looks straight in the camera, and you're just like. It's funny because it's like I've never found Lady Gaga attractive until this movie.
I'm totally in the same boat. Yeah. When she looks,
she's a good looking.
When she's not doing the Lady Gaga thing, and she looks like Stephanie
Germanotta. Yeah.
It's just like holy.
She's very attractive.
She's naturally beautiful. Yeah. She really doesn't need to like wear a meat dress.
But she's uniquely beautiful. She's not classically beautiful.
Right. It's a non-traditional look.
And they reference that. I love the nose conversation.
Yeah.
Like I love that conversation.
There's so much stuff online where people that like love that and people that hate that think it's like condescending. But it's like
it's her face.
It's her face. And like that. How much he's fixated on it. But it's like, you know.
He's a dude that's infatuated with a girl.
Yeah, it's like they
say. So, like, even the things that she doesn't find attractive, he would find attractive.
That's right. That's a very, I mean, that's been around forever.
Like,
that,
oh, I don't like my chin. Oh, I love
your
chin.
I like about you, when you
truly love somebody, you appreciate them for their quote-unquote flaws.
Right.
If you
don't see them as flaws.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. I say it sometimes jokingly on the show, referring to God knows what, but like
your massive penis.
We'll share that too. But every pot has a lid.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And so, yeah, you might have this really weird, unique look. And I'm not saying she's weird looking, but
she has a unique look, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the abstract, you know, someone could have this really weird, unique look, but there's someone out there that will be attracted by.
Absolutely. I think there are plenty of actresses out there, or actors for that matter, who are weird looking dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot.
Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think. There was one where I was like, yeah, I can't remember. Edward James Olmos is a weird looking dude.
Humphrey Bogart
is a weird looking dude.
I don't think Matt Damon's classically attractive. I think Matt Damon's weird looking, but people think he's hot. You know,
whenever they first hired James Franco for Freaks and Geeks, they hired him because they thought he looked funny looking. Yeah. And then all the women on set were swooning over him, but they were like, what? We didn't hire him for that reason. Yeah. And then Paul Feig's wife was like, he's like the guy that like you find at like the newspaper stand after school and make out with him, but you don't want anybody to see that. And they were like, okay, well that's perfect, let's make that his character.
And that's what he was.
Yeah.
So they hit it off. They kind of go out after the fact, and she starts singing.
Yeah, they're out all night.
Yeah, they're just singing songs, and he's just like, yeah, dude, like, you're good.
Well, but the altercation at the cop bar first.
It's great.
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, someone is like, she's very much so like, I don't know how you deal with the celebrity, because people are coming up to him, and he's used to it. He's fine. I'll take this picture. But this guy basically pushes her out of the way to get a picture with him.
He's like, you want to take a picture? Oh, yeah. And she punches him in the face.
She's immediately protective of him.
Yeah.
Like, she immediately has that.
I feel like she was doing kind of a stereotypical Jersey girl.
Hothead kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where she's just like, okay. And then knocks
the guy
she's out.
From New York originally, right?
I think so.
So like, she probably already had that kind of personality.
Probably wasn't far from the truth.
True.
And it's interesting. I mean, she's probably, what would you disagree that she's the biggest act in music right now? Female act in music?
No.
Cardi B?
She's very big.
Cardi B, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair.
Beyonce is pretty much the queen.
Up there though.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty.
Yeah,
darn
so
popular.
Like, it's interesting to see. Like, I wonder how she would have handled like that kind of thing. I mean, how she handles it now is obviously just like, I'll take five pictures and then I gotta go because I can't take 4,000.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, so
but this grocery store scene is great. I love that.
Yeah,
when he's taking her around and finding her a bag of peas, and it's very much.
He goes, do you play the piano? Yeah. Well, we got to take care of that hand.
Yeah. What am I going to do with this? I thought it was a very cute, very fun, organic moment when she's holding the bag of peas wrapped up on her hand. She's like, what is this? You know, and it felt so natural, and it was a great way to see these characters getting to know each other.
Right, right. And so
Lady Gaga is actually from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is code for money.
Yes. But she's still from New York.
Right.
Yeah, it still counts. So then he's like, I want you to go on tour with me. And she was like, no. Oh, that's not happening.
Yeah,
and
this is the scene. The grocery store parking lot is where we get Shallow.
Yeah.
And
where
that
she starts
is great.
It. And then he fixes it a little bit for the show. And I also think it's interesting. They give you a look into her past where she's like, I'm not doing this again. So it's very obvious that she knows he's a drunk. She knows that he has a drinking problem.
Well, I think I took it as her dad.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like she has a past dealing with alcohol.
And she knows what it's gonna be, what it can be like, and doesn't want
to. She said to her dad, keeps on telling her to go.
This is my fault. I'm sorry.
Well, I was talking about like much earlier whenever like Jackson's driver was at the door, and he's like, why don't you go to the concert? You should do the concert. She's like, no, okay, he's a drunk. You know all about that, don't you, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hold on him, and he's just quiet.
He's like, yeah. This the first like act of this movie is Arthur.
Hmm. I haven't seen Arthur movie yet.
Really? No. Yeah, so Dudley Moore plays an incredibly rich drunk
driving around in New York, drinking, driving around in his limo.
Yeah, that's right.
And he meets this
Is it Bo? It's not Bo Derek.
It's Liza Minnelli. Bo Derek was 10.
That's right.
He meets Liza Minnelli, who's like this working class girl from like either the Bronx or Jersey, and she doesn't want anything to do with him because she knows he's a hot mess.
Yeah.
And she takes him home, and then the dad is like, "This guy's a drunk. You don't want anything to do with him." And he like then he sees the Rolls Royce out front. He's like, "He's a great guy. You should be with him. This is your shot." Like it's yeah.
That's very true. I didn't even put that together. You're absolutely correct.
I also like how they work it in very naturally. Bradley Cooper is like, you know, I want you to come to my show tomorrow. And it's like, where's that going to be? But it's like, she has to take a private jet. Like,
well,
that
he says
night.
Arizona. Yeah, right.
But, but it's like,
she's just like,
it's 3 a.m. He dropped her off and he wants her to go tonight. And
did you ever, it's like that Kevin Smith Prince story where like Prince would like, Kevin Smith was working with Prince on this documentary that you will never see. And, but he's like, Prince was so famous. And
you'll
so
see it because the estate of Prince
yeah.
is going to strip mine the vault.
I want to see that. Movie
you'll see
so
everything.
Bad after
he's kinda,
this
he kind of says he's just like Prince would wake up at 3 a.m. in Minnesota and want a camel.
Yeah.
And like he couldn't figure out why people wouldn't just do it.
Yeah.
And like his assistant would be like, Prince, it's 3 a.m. in March in Minnesota and you want a camel. And Prince is just like, uh huh.
Yeah, make it happen.
Make it happen.
He just doesn't see like what makes that so like
out there.
Impossible.
Yeah. So when Jackson is just like, yeah, we're just going to go.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I can't. Yeah. Like, I can't just uproot my whole life for this.
And she's also like, I got to work.
I got to work.
This is her job. She needs, you know, she's taking care of her dad, so she has that responsibility.
Right.
You know, they live in the same house. And
I don't think she's taking care of her dad because her dad obviously is very
successful.
No, his
dad seems like he's got his stuff together.
He's a driver.
He's a driver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I got kind of get the impression that he owns his own
That's
fleet of cars because
they're all
up and down
the
street. Everybody seems to be like working out of his house.
Right.
I don't know. To me, it seemed like she was kind of the house mom. Like, why
does
she?
That is probably true.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I just mean that she's, what I mean is she still takes care of him. Like, she's, you know, they don't pick up after themselves. She's like, you got to go to work.
In that regard,
she lives with her dad. Like, she has responsibility. She can't just not.
In light of how she takes care of Bradley Cooper, I was hearing it more as like, he was
he's not a total mess, at least at this point in his
life.
No. But the final straw is she goes to work and deals with that D-bag manager.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you're late. And she's just like, why? Why am I dealing with this right now?
Yeah.
And then she's just, and then she walks outside and there's Greg Guttenberg.
Yeah.
He's like, ready? He's like, yep.
And the best friend comes too.
Yeah. Yeah. The best friend.
He's funny. I like him.
I like
him.
Oh,
yeah.
He
was a great character for sure.
So she goes and to the concert and he's elated. Like, elated to see her there.
I love that, you know, that like he's waiting for her to be there and all that his like helper on the tour is like waiting for, hi, I'm whoever,
right,
you know, here's
right.
your passes. Like, clearly he's been like, this girl's gonna be here, I know she's gonna make it, get everything ready for her. Like, it's a cute
and
moment.
I do like that Sam Elliott's like, I haven't seen him like that in years.
Yeah.
he was on tonight and he was unstoppable
and
never brought a girl up before.
And I also like that never at any point is Jackson Maine this like womanizing rock star D-bag.
Right.
He is genuinely, it's not like that first night in the bar he's just looking to hook up. Like,
he's
his character,
he wanted to drink.
But his character is so, like, I mean, he's just so genuine, and he really wants to get to know this girl, and he likes her and cares about her.
I do like when he leans over to the buddy, and he's just like, are we in a drag bar?
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah. He's like, all right, cool.
I thought I was in a hallucinogenic state, man.
So, yeah, so he brings her on stage. He's like, he finishes his set, and he was like, oh, my friend's here, and she wrote this song, we're going to sing it. And, like, he walks over to her, and she was just like, what are you doing? And he's like, yeah, we're just gonna do the song. We're gonna do that song you wrote.
He's like, I fixed it up. I
did a little bit of this, I did a little bit of that, and we'll just follow me.
He's like, it's rushed, but
you guys stick with me, follow me for the changes, and try to keep up.
That's cool. Yeah, it's great. I love this scene. Like, when I think about standout scenes, that first scene was really cool, but like this scene of her finding her way on stage.
I love where it doesn't take her any time at all. Like, she's a little timid at first. But as soon as she sees that he's with her, she turns into Allie, and it's game on.
Yeah.
And she is off to the races. And it's interesting because, like, this is her career. Like, this is how her career is. Not her as Lady Gaga, but, like, this is Allie's career. And it starts here.
The star is about to be born.
The star is born. Like,
but she's on the road with him for quite a while. There's a time
they're doing
jump,
like the duets.
But yeah. He's bringing her on tour with him, and you know she quit her job, and so she's able to travel, and they do this song together.
Right.
But eventually,
they're
people start to recognize.
Stuff.
that she is a talent, and that's why the manager comes up and says, "You're really great, but like you're better than just someone that is a tour tag along and does one song with
I did.
Like,
it's interesting how they're able to avoid Bradley Cooper being a complete
because
they're getting on that bus. The guy walks up to Allie.
Yeah, I can't believe he doesn't seem like a jealous a-hole. He doesn't. He handles it very well.
And she's even like, let me go talk to Jackson. Yeah. And he was just like, okay. And then he's just like,
she's very excited about it.
Like, why are we even talking about this?
And it went a different direction than I thought. I thought he would not like it, but he's just very truthful about it.
He responds by taking like an ice cream cookie or something like that. And just,
yeah, I thought that was
so like, it was such an interesting scene because I'm right.
Yeah.
Like that scene feels like he's just like, you you're gonna go off and do this pop music crap. Mm-hmm. You're gonna leave our stuff behind,
but she takes it very differently, which makes the whole thing roll.
Exactly,
that was the way he took it out, not in a traditional like I don't want you talking to him, this, that, and the other, but he does this thing, but it comes off
like
as,
I said, it's very manipulative.
It is. Off as playful to her, and then they end up like they're
hook
good.
Mm-hmm.
So
like it's a very and it's a very smart way to do it. Like you can make him be like you're a loser, like you're a sellout, but they don't do that,
right?
Because he helps her lean into that career.
Yeah, but then he's there with her and
he's
helping
there with
her through
the right.
Because
then you see her like struggling. She can't get the like she's recording that she's recording a song in the studio and she can't get it. And he was just like, and you think like. The way they shoot that scene, he's just like, I told you you shouldn't be here. But he was just like, hey, you know what? Let me talk to her for a second.
Yeah.
And like he brings in a piano and
she flies in her piano. He shuts down the
piano. And she nails it.
Yeah.
So like he has her back the entire time. And like this is the part where I feel like when they meet, he's peaking. Mm-hmm. Like he's at the peak of his career. As this movie progresses, he is starting to go on the
live in her shadow.
Yes, like she's becoming the star. Like she was always kind of like that folky rock singer songwriter thing,
right?
And then she starts going the Lady Gaga, like the real world Lady Gaga route. Mm-hmm. I take that back. She's definitely more Britney Spears, Katy Perry.
It's pop. It's
like
it's,
I don't, because Lady Gaga, I mean, I'm not an expert on her live show, so like, and all like
it's
know
very
her,
unique
I know
though.
Her hits
yeah.
but I don't know like out like other songs off the albums. So like this song about like, you know, checking out this guy's ass,
right,
performing on SNL.
I will say that was the one song in this entire movie that I was really glad had an interruption for the most of it, because I did not enjoy
it. But it's supposed to be bad.
It's supposed to enjoy
it. It's contrived. Exactly. It's this is someone making boy bands and Britney Spears type Christina Aguilera. Mm-hmm. They're manufacturing.
But I also kind of read it is that she was like, well, if I succeed in this genre, I'm not competing with him.
True.
Oh,
that's
I never
a good
put that.
Point
I never
too.
Really took. I didn't really take it like that.
I could see that though.
Yeah.
I think it just fell into he's from a different era. I mean, he's been a famous musician for a while, and now pop music is popular. Like it made sense. She was turning into a pop, you know, electronic type of dancer.
Right.
Like that's what the kids want.
I love
you know?
That. I love that line where he's like, she's in the. So we should say that Chris Christopherson.
Cooper.
Cooper goes to see his, like he kind of puts his dad on a pedestal and he goes to see his dad's grave. And we find out that Sam Elliott, who plays his half brother.
Yeah.
He's also his road manager. He's
right.
with him on tour.
And he's been his babysitter.
And
he's
taking care of him.
Cause he like the first time where Allie and Jackson are together for the night, like Jackson gets loaded and passes out, and mm-hmm. Bradley or Sam Elliott just kind of like, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like this is who he is. And I do like where Allie kind of lays it out. She's like, I'm not going to come get you. Like this is the one, like, so he's out, he gets loaded.
While she's having a concert.
I got to tell you, Dave Chappelle destroyed this scene again. Like,
yeah,
that was awesome.
You forget how good he is.
He's
until
good,
he gets loaded at the special. At this corporate gig, he ends up in the grass and Allie can't find him. And finally, I think either Dave Chappelle calls and says, look, we got him. Like he's here. And she kind of says, she's like, this is it. This is the one time I'm going to come find you. And he gets it. And he's just like, yep, I'm with you. And I do love the scene where he like clips off. He has Dave Chappelle clip off the guitar string.
Yeah.
And he makes it into a ring and they get married.
Smooth.
Super smooth. Like, that's legit. Yeah,
there's some really nice moments.
And he gets
romantic
it together.
Here,
like, he's together for a minute and people are just like, oh, you're not drinking. He was like, nope. nope, not drinking. And then because he didn't get the right, because he didn't quit the right way, he has triggers.
Yeah.
Like when she starts to succeed a little bit and he's not succeeding so much, and he just starts getting loaded again. And then we get to the, we find out that he is going to perform in this.
Well, it was the, SNL, the that's staring what it, at his ass and
yeah,
stuff.
He's right,
like,
what
right, does
right,
that what mean?
The,
what
he's
is
like,
that?
What is this garbage? And then yeah. Sam Elliott's right there and he's got two beers in his hand and it's just like, God dang. Like we're like, it's hard for me to watch because I was there.
Right.
Like, I lived through that.
And then how about when he shows up to do that tribute at the Grammys?
That's what I'm saying.
And,
so like,
and Sam Elliott's like, yeah, they found some new young guy.
Well, that's the entire time. He's hyping that up.
I was wondering from the get-go, I'm like, this dude can't sing a Roy Orbison song.
Who?
Bradley Cooper's character.
Yeah, that's matched at all.
I mean, yeah. Roy Orbison has this super Folky. High angelic yeah. voice. And like, I mean, so, I mean, he does.
That's
I mean,
true, yeah.
Roy,
yeah.
I mean... You know, like no, I mean that's
Van
why
Van Halen. I mean Eddie Vedder, not Eddie Vedder, but
David Lee
Roth. David
Lee Roth
did,
yeah,
right?
But I mean, yeah, and they're doing the same song,
yeah.
But which you know, which is his most well known song.
I would
but,
say so,
but still, like a Roy Orbison tribute with him was just kind of like
what was the band he was in?
The traveling
Wilburys. Who was in that with him?
George Harrison, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne,
Bob Dylan. Yeah,
so that was the super group. Like
yeah.
of supergroups, like
just about yeah. yeah.
So that's what they're
but
like.
But it's a gut punch when he shows up thinking he's singing, and Sam Elliott's like, I don't know.
He even stops him. He's like, whoa. Yeah. He's like, look, they just want you to play guitar.
Yeah. But then he's like, I'll do it.
And he was just like, okay.
But no, Sam Elliott's like, you will. And
he's
like
yeah.
And you're like, geez, this guy. And this is where you know his career is. You yeah. know, mm-hmm. he's getting overshadowed. He shows up to sing. Then he's the guitar player. And you're like, damn, this
and
is
then,
not going to end well.
And then he
takes
out a bunch of pills and
yeah.
he smashes them up with a beer bottle or his shoe.
His boot.
Yeah.
Snorts,
yeah.
So he snorts
yeah.
them and then he gets yeah. out there. And it's interesting because you see enough like behind the music or rock documentaries and these guys will get loaded before a show. But when they get on stage, something in their brain just clicks into
yeah. It's really filmed
into business.
Yeah.
Mode.
They've done it so much; it's muscle memory. There's
right.
also something they refer to as just like stage medicine. Of like, there's something about being on stage that, like, I mean, I've done it where when I'm sick,
yeah.
and I feel awful, but I'm in a play or something, and you go, once you're on stage, like
something clicks,
it just goes away.
Yeah,
you know?
We haven't actually mentioned that. Like, he's suffering from tinnitus.
Oh
like,
yeah,
this whole
yeah.
movie,
yeah.
And it's affecting him like really bad before he goes on and then
they're telling him
you gotta wear these earplugs.
You gotta wear well, they're not earplugs, they're in-ear monitors.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So basically what it is so bands when you see in a live show, the bands, those boxes that you see at the foot of the stage,
yeah.
those are speakers for the band to hear themselves,
yeah.
because they're performing behind the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have those monitors,
they can't hear. What's
they
going
can't
on.
Hear, and so and then those monitors get turned up pretty loud because they still have to be louder than the music that's pushing out.
Right.
So they have all the volume of the concert that we're getting, plus the volume of speakers pointed right at their faces, and that's
mess with his ears.
That's why they tend to have hearing problems a lot, and like the volume, they keep turning up the volume more and more. It's, I mean, DJs have it a lot. It's why Paul Harris wants
Huey
his.
Lewis.
It's why Paul Harris wants his headphones so loud when
yeah.
he's here, because mm-hmm. he spent a lifetime wearing headphones and talking, and you just kind of keep. When I was in radio, I actually used what they call open ear headphones. And so if you turn them up too loud, you would get feedback.
Right.
And I did that on purpose because I saw myself keep turning it up louder and louder. And I'm like, this would prevent me from doing that because
idea.
I would get
good
feedbacks.
Idea.
And
right.
And so they want them to wear, now they have what's called in-ear monitors, and you can just put them in your ears and you don't need the boxes in the front of the stage. But some people, especially if they're used to traditional monitors, they're not used to that. And it's,
and he seems kind of like an old school kind of dude.
I think he
needs to be with the audience. He needs to hear the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
He wants to be there with them.
Now,
yeah,
if you're
yeah.
used to in-ears, you love them because you can only, you don't have to worry about when you wander the stage. Like each one of those monitor boxes is like, here's the one for the bass player, here's for the singer. Well,
sure.
when you move around, the sound changes. If you have an in-ear monitor, the sound doesn't change when you move around the stage. So newer musicians love them,
right.
but they're not very rock and roll. I think a lot of bands have in-ear monitors and they still put up the fake
so that they looks like it.
Because it looks like a rock show.
Right, right.
But I also think this I think part of the reason he's not worried about switching to in-ear monitors is because he's not planning to be alive.
That could be very true.
I think he's like, this doesn't matter because
I'm not going to make it anyway.
I'm gonna be dead.
Yeah. Right.
Damn, you're making this darker than I remember. Tom.
So yeah, so he gets out there. And
I think we should stop and just say how good Bradley Cooper is in this movie.
He's fantastic.
As
yeah.
an actor.
He's one of those actors who, like, it's such a, like, we have been watching movies his entire career. We've watched him from Hangover. Alias.
Oh, he was on Alias?
Yeah.
He was the Wedding Crashers.
Where he got Greg Gunberg from.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers, where he was like, and that's the character he played for a while, was the raging douchebag.
Hangover was the first time he really took
Hangover is where they pivot that character a little bit and get him into like the lovable douchebag.
My first exposure to him was on a WB show, maybe it was CW, called Jack and Bobby.
That's the like John F. Kennedy.
It wasn't, but they used the names. And it was like you would see these two brothers in the present day named Jack and Bobby. And you would see flash forwards and one of them becomes president, but it's written in such a way that you never really know which one you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And he was dating their mother. But he's the dad? No.
Boyfriend?
He's the boyfriend. And the mother's like a single mom, but she's like 15 years older than
how
him.
How old would he have been back then?
25.
Yeah, but he was great. And I remember like when they started to write him off the show because they were like, this relationship is going nowhere. Oh. And then they started bringing him back around because he was so good.
Right.
You know, that's where I remember.
But yeah, it's such a great career to watch because he does The Hangover. He does kind of the lovable douchebag. And then he hooks up with David O. Russell. And to me, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
Like Silver Linings Playbook.
That was his first Oscar nom.
American Hustle. And now American Sniper.
Yeah.
Plastic Baby aside.
His performance.
I mean, he's everywhere. Like,
his performance, but I mean, it's not just the way he acts, which his acting is great and his delivery is great, but it's the hurt on his face.
He's suffering
from his demons and everything. Like, he is.
That he can give a performance like this while directing his first movie.
And he directed this. Yeah,
this has been
insane.
A good year for directorial debuts, I'd like to point out. Like, Sorry to Bother You and Hereditary, just to name a few that I really like.
Or by people that like Krasinski. I mean.
Oh, yeah, Quiet Place.
Think about someone that took a different, I mean, I know Cooper has been doing more serious stuff than Krasinski, but it's like, wow, this guy that started off, we were really, he hit it big with these comedies.
He's Jim.
And,
like, you know, he's everybody loves Jim.
But man.
Yeah. And now he's Jack Ryan. So, so her career is skyrocketing. She's got billboards. She's got everything. I love this scene. Like, I love this. This was probably my favorite scene of the whole movie.
So just put your nose on the billboard.
I love it. Not just that, but yes.
That's
like
great.
But I also like where he's just like, he knows that she is starting to go down this pop star path.
Yeah.
And he's just like, look, I have to tell you this now because I don't think. And this is another scene when you watch it back where he's like, I'm not going to get another chance to tell you this where we are gearing towards the suicide, where he's just like, you have a voice and people are listening. Say what you have to say and they will hear you. Yeah. He's like, don't just write these stupid vapid tracks. Like, you have an opportunity for these people to listen to you. Do it.
Yeah, he said, if you don't dig deep into your soul, you won't have legs.
Yeah.
That
which I think
was
it's a great line. And it could come off as an asshole.
Yeah.
But he's just like, I love you and your career is right. Like, we're right here.
He's speaking now from experience.
Yeah, and he says, he's like, trust me, I know.
It's truth.
Yeah, he's like, you have a voice, and people want to hear your voice. And unfortunately, she starts to. So anyway, they go to the Grammys.
Yeah.
Again, stage sickness, where he's super messed up, and you think he's going to screw this up. But
great shot of him snapping into it as the music starts.
Puts the hat on, and then he holds that note.
Just a little too long.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was amazing. Everybody else was looking at it like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, keep it going.
No,
dude. Like,
no,
that was really
that's
cool.
His like F you to the guy who
I
took
like
the,
that it worked because I mean it works on both levels.
Right.
It sounded great, but it was also an F you.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was so cool. And I have to say the cinematographer who I think Tom mentioned was an Aronofsky guy
I think the guy you are talking about has worked with Aronofsky though.
Well, no, that's who this guy is.
Matthew Libatique.
He's the DP on all the Aronofsky movies, and so this guy knows how to make a beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aronofsky's movies are artistic; they have some great shots. But this movie is phenomenal looking from beginning to end.
Like I said in my review, like every moment feels just raw and immersive, and like really just puts you in the moment and like brings the emotions, the emotional appeal of it up
it's
to
very,
11.
It's a very small and tight movie.
Oh my God, this guy did Venom and A Star Is Born.
I thought
that's
that
he's the cinematographer of both these movies that come out on the same day.
That's
the
crazy.
Such,
day. So that was just a coincidence that he
wow.
mentioned
such
that.
A different looking movie.
Yeah,
well, one he was doing for the money.
Yeah, that's probably
and the
true.
Other he was doing because
two for the show.
Two for the show.
So yeah, so she's in the seats. He plops down next to her, and he is effed.
Yeah.
So in the original, what happens is he just doesn't show up.
And like, the 76.
I gotta tell you. Him showing up is way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
He crashes way it in 76 worse. And then just makes a fool of himself up on stage. And this version, which is still just horrendous, he falls asleep and passes. I mean, he passes out
well,
on
he
stage.
Get, yeah, he
at
gets,
the foot of the stage.
The
and then,
first,
yeah.
And then he's
like,
gets up
can I,
there.
Can I come up there? And then he comes up there and then he pisses his pants.
He's like mumbling while she's trying to give
he's
her
like
speech.
He's like nodding off. Yeah. You see him closing his eyes. It's horrendous.
That was just harrowing. And I didn't even notice. Like the first time I saw it, I did not notice what was happening. And then you hear all the people go, oh no. Yeah. And then like you look closer like, oh well, shit.
They don't show it. They like it's a tight shot from like their waists up and it's shot upward. And then you hear the crowd react and they pull back.
Are you sure? I thought it was
a wide shot.
Is it a wide shot?
Mm-hmm. I think it was a wide
you
shot.
You see
it's
him
just
up there because I remember him nodding out like he was going to pass out with her talking on stage. He's standing next to her and he's just like about to fall backwards.
Yeah.
And then
this is where we get the real dice. Where he's throws
he
him into the
happy.
Tub and he's like, I can't
and
believe
at this point,
he did
he
that
loves,
to her.
He loves this guy.
Both, yeah, he's
and,
like a son.
And then when he does this to his daughter, though, right. accepting her Grammy and
the
making
Grammy
it.
Of the best new artist. Yeah. Like, this is kind of it's a big deal.
And this really is where it's like, I mean, this is the truth of he is going to ruin her career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he doesn't turn things around or they break up. Like, I totally get the truth of that.
Right.
And it's like, he's got to clean up and this is where he has to ship off to rehab.
And he does. And he gets it together and I like this scene in group where he's just like you're
another
late.
Alias guy.
Yeah.
Ron
that's,
Rifkin.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting.
Where he's just like, we're never late for group. And he's like, nope. Yep. Got it. Sorry. He's like, where's your notebook? He's like, it's in my room. He's like, fine.
And
leave it. Notebook comes with you.
And this is what makes the ending so much harder.
Uh-huh.
Even is that he goes to rehab. He does
he
this
gets
for
it
months. He tries. He does not screw up in rehab. He comes home clean and ready to make a difference. And then you get the a-hole manager speaking the truth, but you know this guy. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
You cannot excuse this guy. I don't care if he's speaking the truth.
It's a thing that he should have heard while he was in rehab.
Yeah.
I knew that manager was going to be like the
absolutely.
The moment when Gaga is walking onto the bus after they do Shallow for the first time, you just see him for a brief second.
You know.
I was like, I know I'm going to hate this guy.
Because you know that he's going to steal her away from him.
Right, exactly.
And it happens in a different way, but in the end, he does. I mean,
yeah.
That's,
well, she kind of says, she's like, I want him on tour with me. We'll go to Europe. We'll do the couple duets. It'll
that's
be great.
Not an option.
Yeah, and he was just like, no.
Well,
she's
because,
like, fine, cancel it.
Yeah, because Gaga, this is why the a-hole ends up doing this in the end, but she cancels her tour to be with Jackson. And
well, he and Jack and the manager's like, look, she will cancel. She will destroy her career for you because she loves you. And he's just kind of like, he says she wants to take you on tour. We're not going to do it. And she's going to cancel the whole tour. Yeah.
I think it would have been more tragic if this guy had said it, but not as a D-bag.
Yes. I really wish he would have said
where he came to him as a friend.
Clean
like,
it up.
Yeah. Like if it hadn't been like him just being a jerk. So now you can funnel your anger about the suicide on
this
guy.
This is why they did
like,
it. He's
like,
the
and because I mean, honestly, it's unfair to frame suicide in a way that says, well, if this guy hadn't said that.
Right.
Because I do think this movie's laying hints all throughout.
Well, especially when we get to the last song.
Well, and also don't forget I was going that direction, but I was going back in time. But when he shows her those lyrics and he says, when he's in rehab, I just left that so you would find it one day.
Right.
Totally. But I do still think there's a chance that she could have saved him, though. We don't know. We'll never know. But, like,
you can't put
but
that
But you can't.
Alone.
You can't. Like, you can't.
Once a person like that is set, you mean.
But you don't know that he would have done it, though.
Look, she could have helped him. Yeah. She couldn't have saved him.
Yeah.
And that's she's probably, you know, like after the fact was like suffering from a lot of personal blame anyway.
Mean in a roundabout logical way. What I'm saying is she could have helped him to keep going. And I feel like if the guy didn't say that, he was on the right track. He was sober. He went to rehab. He was committing. And then that made him fall off the wagon. I mean, I know he has issues, but I think
Tom's right. She would have helped him, but there was more work that needed to be done to save him.
And he was not willing to do that work. Only you can save yourself.
Correct.
You can prevent forest fires.
But I think he was
doing it. But he was on
the track. You're right.
He was on the track in order for him to get there, but she was going to throw this all away.
Right.
Yeah.
We get the scene where he's laying down and she kind of lays on top of him and he was just like, she's like, nope, like we just canceled the last half of the European tour. And he was like, oh,
he already knows.
He was like, why? And he was like, oh, I got a new single coming out. They want me to put out new tracks. And he kind of says, he's like, she's like, I lied to him
later on.
Yeah.
So we get the scene in the truck. First we get Sam Elliott.
They play the, don't they? It's a flashback.
Yeah, we get Sam Elliott who drops him off from rehab before all this happens. And then they're having this conversation. Bradley Cooper, he was just like, look, I got to tell you, I never, like, you were the one I looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Elliott.
He actually struggles a lot. He doesn't say anything.
And I love that when Bradley Cooper says that, he's like, you were the one I idolized, but he won't look at him.
He's looking down.
He's looking down and he closes the door and like
walks
away
real quick.
Sam Elliott leans
over the back as he's going to back up.
Doesn't this scene come before he finds out that she's going to?
This is Sam Elliott drops him off at the house from rehab.
Right. Yeah, this is before. Yeah. So like, and again, this feeds into my theory that he was already contemplating suicide because that wasn't making amends.
I was saying goodbye.
That was saying goodbye.
I could see that for sure.
Damn. Could read that.
Yeah,
one.
Absolutely.
But he is getting in the truck and he's supposed to be going to sing the song.
He's going to do this. This is his first appearance out of rehab.
Right.
He's going to go on stage with her. Gets in
at
the
Forum in LA, which is a major, it's
Madison Square Garden, but the West Coast.
This still shows you he was getting in the car to go, and he never makes it out of the driveway. So he wasn't like, you know, oh, I'm going to.
See, I don't think he was going to go.
I think he was going to go at that point.
The truck out of the driveway, out of the garage, so he could hang himself. Because
at first, I thought he was going to asphyxiate himself.
That's what I thought too. Well, he does kind of.
Well, okay, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
You meant like carve him a knock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
what about the scene when he's still at rehab and Gaga goes to meet him, and like that's when like he's like that one scene where he's trying to apologize about what happened at the Grammys.
It's a gut punch, man.
My God.
Yeah, because he never apologized, right?
He apologized.
Not until
here.
That moment.
And this, he finally, now that he's thinking clear and he's sober,
he's like, I screwed that all
he's
up.
He's like,
I'm
I embarrassed
so
you.
Yeah. Like that was the peak of his performance in this to me. Like that was the moment where I was like, I have never seen you this good, dude.
This is the
like,
baby scene in American Sniper. As awful as that plastic baby was,
right? The scene was wonderful, but it was expert
acting.
But they cut his suicide with her performance of their song. That he never shows.
And
up
I got
for.
The same scene where like the, he pulls the garage door. He takes his hat off, pulls the garage door down. They pan out, and she's telling the manager, she's like, "Where is he?"
Right.
And she starts. He's like, "All right." Like he kind of plays it off. He was like, "Don't worry about it. Like I'm sure he's fine." And she's like, send somebody to the house. So like you get that scene where it pans back. And if you look through the little windows of the garage, you can see like a shadow swinging. And then the lights come
up. Blue and red.
And then he sits down with Allie sits down with Sam Elliott. And they have a wonderful scene together where he's just like, look, you didn't do this. Like, this is him. And she's just kind of like, you, what do you mean? It's him. Sorry, Kevin. where he's just like, you did everything you could for him. Like this is on Jackson.
Yeah, it's a good chat.
Jackson
for sure.
Did this
because she's blaming herself.
Right.
And that's like, I mean, like Tom mentioned earlier, that's not fair to do. Definitely. It's not her fault at all.
Right.
But she is blaming herself. And yeah, it's a really nice moment between the two of them.
Right. And again, Sam, it's weird. Like I think of Morgan Earp. Like every time from he in Tombstone, like that's the Sam
Wyatt
Elliott. No, he's Morgan.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm sorry. I actually haven't seen
Tombstone. I think maybe Bill Paxton is Morgan. Either way, Tombstone is the character that I think of Sam Elliott all the time. Like, that's the role of Sam Elliott that I always think of.
For me, it's the Stranger.
That's fair.
From the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
That's my first. And then Roadhouse, too, right?
He's Patrick Swayze's mentor.
Yeah, so he's in Roadhouse, nice.
But Tombstone is
fantastic. Tombstone's great.
Yeah. And so, like, you always forget how goddamn good he is, because he, like, he'll pull out these performances every once in a while. You're like, all right. he pulls out these performances, and it's just like, oh, yeah.
Well, because he's a working actor.
He is.
And so he's known, but he can't open a movie. And so,
but he's been in the game a long time.
Yeah, but because of that, he takes a lot of work because it's work. And sometimes he's in really good things, and sometimes he's the best part of something that's not so
good.
There's
a great cop movie with him and Peter Weller.
That sounds cool.
It's great. I can't think of the name of it, but it's fantastic.
Robo Mustache Cop.
Robo Mustache Cop. Robo Mustache Tombstone Cop.
Yes. Lady Gaga has a really good scene where after she finds out that he's dead, she goes back to the house and she starts all his like records and frame things. She's like smashing
it. Yeah.
And really good emotional scene with her.
Mm-hmm. I do like where he says when Dice walks in, he's like, God, look at all this vinyl. And Jackson is just like, yeah, you can take it.
That's another clue.
That's another clue. Like, people that have decided to kill themselves, they give away things.
And he's just like, you don't even know
who you're talking to.
You're talking to the wrong people to say that. But then.
And now it doesn't matter because it all becomes her possessions.
It's all hers.
Yeah. It's marital property.
But really nice scene. This is where they
flash.
Did they
actually get married?
Yeah,
they did. They go to the church.
Yeah, Eddie Griffin
shows up.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Now, I will say that, like, done on that short a notice, I don't know that that was a church wedding, but I don't know that they actually fill out the forms.
Right.
I just kind of, for the sake of the film, assume they fill out the forms later.
But this is where I think you get that really nice scene where you see their last moment, like their musical moment where he's playing that song that she found, and they're playing at the piano. Really great, touching moment, and she's thinking back.
So this is my one quibble with the film,
let me hear what this is.
It's this final song.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One, I think it's not counting the pop song that's supposed to be bad or a trifle.
Yeah.
It's one of the weaker songs,
if not
the weakest song.
Is this part where the popular song is in 76? Is that the one that you're talking about that's good or no? Because I didn't like the Streisand song at the end. I'm like, wrap this up. It's like 7 minutes long, and she's just going on.
I don't
on.
Know that I've ever seen that version, so I don't know. But I know the big hit song from that movie is Evergreen.
But last scene of both movies is them performing a tribute to Jackson and the Streisand one. I'm like, my God.
I didn't think this song, for everything building to this moment, and you get the sneak peek at the lyrics and then everything building this moment, I didn't think the song was as strong as it should have been. Two, I didn't like the fact that it didn't sound like one of his songs.
Okay, this is okay.
And my first take was, but okay,
he
wrote the lyrics and she wrote the music later.
But then,
you see them performing it at the piano and
so
it's his
the
melody.
The way I took it is, you can read that one of two ways. Is she's performing his song, or she takes his lyrics and makes it her song.
Just like he did with Shallow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
Or what he did to his brother.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, that's the way I interpreted it, is like, she is your hero. I mean, she's the one you're rooting for this movie.
Right.
But she also has a career.
Yeah.
And she knows that she has a hit with this
song. I didn't take it in any negative way. I just took it. She made it her own. He wrote it for her, and then
I'm just saying, like, you could take it two ways.
Yeah,
yeah.
And obviously, the second way is a little bit darker. But
interesting.
Yeah, and I wouldn't take it the dark way, just because we've seen nothing about her at this point
that makes her
she has no other choice. He's dead, so I mean, it's not like she can't screw him from beyond the grave. Yeah. It's what,
and
she
owns his estate now.
That's
anyway.
Also true. Yeah.
But but we've seen nothing that makes her
that character
appear to be
right.
Like using him to get. I mean, if anything, she went the other direction.
That's true.
At every turn, like when she meets him in the bar, she's like, I know.
She did.
Good.
She blows him off. She was thanks.
Yeah. Until, so I mean, I wouldn't take that, but
this is a great. I would say this is the first great movie of 2018.
It's just overall. It's one of those times where you stop and everything about it, you're like, that was a good movie.
This is just good old fashioned, Hollywood movie.
Yes.
This is the kind of movie Hollywood doesn't make.
There's no catch. There's no gimmick to it. This is a good story with good performances. I mean, you could use the word great. It's just everything about it where you're like, that's solid. You get out and you're like, damn, I feel like
I saw a great movie.
Yeah.
When I came out of the theater, I had remembered that I didn't tell my mom that I was going to go to the movies.
Right.
Like, she was probably wondering, like, why isn't he home yet? So I call her And I'm like telling her, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I was going to the movie. She's like, oh, it's okay. I figured it. And I tell her, yeah, I saw A Star Is Born. Yeah. And I swear to God, I'm crying over the phone talking to my mom about this movie. She's like, are you crying right now? I'm like, the movie was so good. Yeah, Bob. Yeah,
Katie was crying like a baby.
I bet, man.
Yeah.
I bet.
But yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah. It's Don't Do Venom. Yeah. Go see this instead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad. Well, you can listen to the next episode.
Yeah, that's
true.
But I think I'll just do that instead of actually watch it.
It's for the best. Yeah, we got you.
It's the same cinematographer, so it's kind of like seeing Venom. Yeah.
That is so crazy that this guy added so like this Aronofsky immersive cinematographer who does a brilliant job in this movie just happens to be the cinematographer on Venom that comes out the same day. It's such a weird thing to
very
happen.
Odd. So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's why don't we go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
All right, I'm Jason. You can find me on Twitter at Wheezy Wisdom, WIESE Wisdom, all one word.
And Jason also wrote a review for ReviewSTL.com if you want to read his written review for this movie.
Thank you for publishing that, man.
Yeah.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. I didn't write anything for this movie. you can find a review on ReviewSTL from, I don't know, 6 years ago that I wrote or something.
Nice. I'll look that
it
up, man.
Comic-Con 2013 review. Yeah, right. There you go. And I'm Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, please do so at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. You can also follow us on Twitter at Real Spoilers and check out our Patreon account, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where you will find this week's bonus episode of the Box Office Report. Mm-hmm. And so that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we're going to tackle Venom. We will get to it. So you have that to look forward to. So until then, Blake sells his best song to Tommy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.